Nah. And like, it was like awkward as hell. And I think you were like, God. I think you go, that just changed the vibe. And Chrissy's like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm probably whacked out of my mind. Like,
welcome back once again to another episode of Inappropriate. I was going to have to do this episode solo because, as we know, Steve is in Singapore. I cannot wait for him to come back and hopefully have Han on and we can have a nice Singapore episode. But we didn't want to leave you guys empty-handed for 2 out of 3 weeks. Somehow, by the grace of the Lord Almighty, I guess, cousin brother Phil decided to guest host with me on this episode.
Hello, everybody. I'm back. I got a question. How do you think that's going over there for Steve?
When he first got there, he sent a couple pictures. It was like, right, I think 2 in the morning, he was going out to get noodles. I haven't got updates today or yesterday, so I don't know how it's going.
He could be locked up.
It's well within the realm of possibility.
Right. Some little Singapore jail somewhere.
But it was a 24-hour flight. Mm-mm. Real quick before we get into anything with the episode, I was sitting on my couch on Sunday morning at like 8 a.m. And he sends a message, something about like, we're in the air, or I just got in the air, and how they have free Wi-Fi. So he was flying out of BWI to San Fran, and then, you know. And that was at like 7 a.m. on Sunday. I'm sitting on my couch, 8 a.m. on Monday, and he just lands. Jeez. It was full 24 hours in the air.
Yeah, that's a little tough.
That's nuts.
I don't know if I could do it.
And they are exactly 12 hours past, like, forward.
So ahead of us.
So right now, you know, as we're recording, he's probably waking up roughly.
To start his day.
Yeah. So thanks, cousin brother Phil, for hanging out with me so I didn't have to talk in this room by myself.
No problem, man. I had nothing better else to do.
I always say I have the best Reddit story ever, but I have maybe the best worst Reddit confession story I've ever heard.
Best worst.
It involves a threesome, and it goes, I could give you 1,000 guesses and you're not guessing how it ends. So we're going to get into that. We're going to close up the show with the world's first joke. I can't even give you a hint, but it's the world's first joke.
Is it a knock knock joke?
It is not a knock knock joke.
All right, cool. That's the first that comes to my mind.
And before we get into the crazy Reddit story, I just want to touch on the Tyson fight, or the Jake Paul Tyson fight.
All right.
As we know, they signed the contract to fight on Netflix.
Correct.
July 20th.
Right. So, and this is no cost. If you have Netflix, you
can just watch it. Right.
Okay.
Which I think is probably fair. I would go to a bar if I wasn't doing anything else to watch it, but I wouldn't be paying to watch it.
No cover charge bar. No. Yeah.
I don't know a single person that is hoping Jake Paul wins, right?
No. I think Tyson takes out his aggression on all the white people has done to him his entire life on this pretty white boy who's entitled his whole life. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I hope so. Because Tyson, for me, there was not a more like vicious,
right,
like, intimidating person. Like when Tyson was fighting, I was about 10 to 12-ish.
In that age, yeah. When he was in his prime.
Right.
When he was the most feared person out there. Yeah.
I remember watching the Spinks fight, and it was 1988.
He took his soul.
In that era, boxers were like more flamboyant. They had like the fringe,
right.
Bright colors. Tyson,
Jerry curls.
He didn't come out with a fucking robe. He had plain black shorts, plain black shoes.
Well, he was a product of his environment. You know, he came from the gutter.
Right.
So that's what he knew.
He was a perfect storm of anger,
yep,
God-given ability and perfect training.
Thank God I didn't grow up in New York in that time. Had to see that guy walking down the street.
Yeah, it was 1988, actually, the Tyson and Michael Spinks fight. And they were both undefeated. Like, this was the fight of the year.
Right.
I mean, they were both, I think Tyson Spinks, Tyson was 34-0 and Spinks was 31-0.
Right.
I remember watching this. I don't know if it was pay-per-view, because obviously I was probably watching it with my father and he had people over. But
right.
Spinks come out, he did his thing, he had his music. And then when Tyson came out, it was the scariest shit I ever seen. Because I don't know if you remember his walkout music. It was no music. It was noise. It was straight noise. It was the most intimidating noise. I was scared for Spinks when I watched that.
Right, right.
I just want to play his intro, because if you're not like a boxing fan or if you don't remember this, it was hands down the most intimidating and greatest walk-up song in the history of boxing.
Deafening here in the arena, so I won't try to yell over it. All I can say is the heavyweight champion is about to make his appearance in the ring.
There's really no way that you can not be intimidated.
Oh, it's now you can kind of relate it to the sound in like horror movies when something bad's about
right.
to happen. You know what I mean? It, like, it's that warning sound. Like,
it's interesting to note that Mike Tyson selected his pre-fight music just noise. Every once in a while, you hear the clanging of chains.
That's probably what's going on through his head.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how crazy he is. But he's got like a beautiful mind too. It's the same thing. You know, you listen to his thing and that stand-up he did, and you listen to it, like, it's just like, wow.
And if anybody wanted to know how that fight ended, he knocked out Spinks in 91 seconds in the first round and actually knocked him out of the ring.
Took his soul. Yeah.
If Tyson can even find a glimmer of that, Jake Paul has no shot.
First of all, you still have that old man strength. He's still Mike Tyson. He catches one time, might even kill the kid.
I mean, it's not funny, but
he's got the knowledge. I don't think the fight's going to happen. I think something will happen where they won't do it, because he could literally kill that kid. I feel that way, because you're not getting the old man strength, man. It's just it's there. You know, he's done it his whole life. I'm telling you, like, wait, he did that interview with Joe Rogan. And he says, "I don't like getting there." You know what I mean?
Because right.
he was like that whole vibe just takes over, and he was like, it's war. And I'm
10 years ago, I saw an interview with Tyson, and he said, "I don't want to fight anymore. I don't have that anger."
His retirement, yeah,
like, that's not in me. You got to have that. I don't have that.
Right.
That was a decade ago, and he obviously doesn't need the money. There was at one point I think he may have needed the money. Now he doesn't.
No.
So
he's got the weed thing,
right?
All that stuff.
Like he's doing good.
Yeah.
So. There's no reason for. It's not like he has to prove his legacy.
Mm-mm.
So the only reason he's taking this is money.
Taking it to whoop this kid's ass. Because I feel like he feels in his mind this kid's never really had an ass whooping, so he's gonna let this kid have an ass whooping. At least that's what I hope happens.
Yeah, and if he takes it serious,
right?
I think he's hands down Jake Paul's no shot. Right. If he doesn't train. And he's just cashing a check, and he does one of these, like, "Oh, he was a better fighter tonight. Like, he trained, you know, hats off to Jake Paul." You know what I mean?
He ain't gonna do that.
I hope not. I really hope that he.
I don't think so.
He has 4 months. Is that right? My math
July
is right.
Something.
So four months to get his camp 30? Together. July 20th.
20th, yeah. It's not like he hasn't had the most evilest things happen to him as a person.
Right. You know,
went to jail for accused rape, was raped when he was younger, so he says. His daughter dies, you know, we drive down. So I'm sure he can find some.
If he taps into that.
Yeah. Poor kid.
Okay, so if it goes past the third, I think it starts to favor Jake.
Yeah, if Jake's smart, he just jabs and
holds him,
backs away. Yeah. You know what I mean? But if you see him start shaking back and forth, doing that little ducking and weaving thing he does, you know something's coming, man. I'd shit my pants.
Hell yeah.
I would shit my pants. Like, it's always one of them things like, "Would you let Mike Tyson punch you in the face for $1 million? Fuck, absolutely not. He would destroy my whole face.
Like, it might cost half that to put your face back together.
If I'm not dead. You know what I mean? That dude's angry.
Speaking of dead, one of these three people in this story, I think, that we're going to get to next, wishes they were dead. I normally try to keep these Reddit things a little shorter, but this one was just too good. It's a little lengthy, but it is just too good. And if you're familiar with the Reddit, T-I-F-U, today I fucked up, is what it stands for.
All right.
And the title is, and this isn't giving anything away, but sleeping with my former boss in front of her husband. Jesus. So it goes on to say, my former boss contacted me a few days ago with an unusual request. She wanted to know if I was interested in sleeping with her while her husband watched us. I said I was the wrong guy for the job, but she disagreed and said that I was the perfect guy based on the random one-night stand that we had years ago, before she remarried. She said her new husband wanted to watch her fuck another guy and she was into it. I agreed to discuss the possibility in person, especially when she offered to pay for dinner. I forgot how attractive she was until I saw her face to face. She introduced me to her new husband, who wanted me to understand that all he wanted to be there was an observer in the bedroom. Fast forward to the fucking. I was in the missionary position when I heard snoring and farting coming from the so-called observer. The husband passed out at some point, obviously not quietly, which affected my concentration on the sex because snoring is distracting and farting was absolutely disgusting. My ex-boss apologized on her husband's behalf before grabbing a box of tissues next to the bed and aggressively hurling it at her unconscious husband. The aim was off. The tissue box missed the target, prompting my ex-boss to hysterically scream at her husband and scream his name over and over into my ears while I was still laying pipe and trying to pretend that absolutely nothing weird was happening.
Wow.
The husband eventually woke up after my ex-boss managed to scream his name at the top of her lungs. Cue all-out war.
Why is dicks in her?
My ex-boss called her husband rude for falling asleep. The husband said he had a long day at work. My ex-boss scoffed and said he had no clue what a long day at work looked like because what he did in one day was nothing compared to what she had to do every day as an independent businesswoman. The husband said he had zero energy for another boss bitch speech. My ex-boss looked at me and said her husband had zero energy on a permanent basis. I asked both of them if they wanted me to stop fucking and give them their privacy because I was awkwardly thrusting in silence while listening to them.
I'm gonna get mine.
My ex-boss said I should ask her husband since the whole thing was his idea. The husband unexpectedly slapped my butt on his way towards the bedroom door and said, I should come and call it a night.
Jesus. That's a...
That's quite a scenario.
Okay. Yeah.
I just envision her husband's in the one chair in the corner.
Right.
And you just hear snoring and farting.
Well, I mean, obviously, he must not be that good at it either. It's probably some dull, boring shit not to keep the guy awake. You know, yeah.
Well, that's
him,
true.
You gotta keep him interested. You know, you gotta be a top performer if you got an audience.
I mean, have you ever just been that tired?
What?
That you just fell asleep? Not necessarily during sex, but like,
I've never had anybody railing my wife. So
I think that would probably keep me up. I don't know.
Yeah, it would definitely. Yeah, definitely keep me up.
But like, how dead of a bedroom does it have to be?
The poor guy. That sucks.
And then get your ass slapped and be like, hey, you might want to call it a night.
Jesus. You rub one off when you get in the car, you got to finish. You know what I mean? Walk around with blue balls the whole time.
Oh, man. I think that would even trump blue balls. I think I would just be done. That would be a drive home without even turning the radio on kind of drive home where you're just staring like, what the... Fuck,
just sitting in the driveway, like trying to recall the night. Like
where did it go wrong? Oddly off topic. Do you remember that club? Not Orpheus.
Plush.
Was that Plush?
Well, the good place about that, it was after hours.
So yes.
Once you would hit the after hours.
So you just got all the freaks.
Yeah.
I remember going there, and I might have been there maybe five times in my life.
Right.
But this was at a time before, like, there was no, I'm sure there were trans people, but they were just like cross, like cross dressed. You know what I mean? It was just dudes cross dressing. Yeah. It wasn't actually like,
they put on, it was like their
weekend outfit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I'm sitting on there and they had just had these random couches around. There's like some people dancing. There's a DJ. There's like, this is like not a full blown club atmosphere,
cool,
but it was like, you know, it was what an after hours club.
Exactly. Yeah.
Most people were chilling. Some people were still hyped up on meth or coke or whatever they were doing. And then some people were just whatever.
Yeah.
But I just remember looking about 5 feet away from me. I just see like a pink mini skirt. I'm probably nodding out because it might be like 4 and 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then there's like a couple like girls in front of this mini skirt. And then I look up and it's like this fucking blonde wig. And I'm like, no way, that's a fucking dude.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then I all of a sudden I see this dude just start jerking his shit through this little pink mini skirt that he's got on. And I just remember...
Was he looking into your eyes?
No, he wasn't looking my way. But it was like the first, it was like so overtly disgusting on any level, let alone like this dude, you know, and then start straight jerking off. And I just remember thinking, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
Two things on that. So, you know, what is it, 1722?
1722, yeah.
Yeah, so we went there a couple of times for after hours. And like you said, it was mixed a bunch of people. And there was two guys dancing on like the little stage thing. One guy was up higher, one guy was down low. He was dancing. Next thing you know, they both had boots on, and one guy lifted his boot up, and the other guy licked the bottom of his boot. And Chrissy and I looked at each other like, "What the f- is going on?" And they just kept on. They just kept on getting it.
That's a very specific fetish.
It made it interesting the rest of the night. Like, we kind of talked about it on the way home the next morning. You couldn't get that out of your mind just because, I mean, you got people puking all over them floors, everything else, like bathrooms.
The absolute filthiest fucking
floor. It's disgusting. Definitely. Oh, yeah. Fuck. Well, what about that one time in D.C.? When you caught that guy on the floor.
Yeah, I fucking got... I have a video of this. And
I can't believe that shit.
To set the scene, it is... What rave was that? I don't even know. It
was whatever it was, the Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah. Like Ultra World, something or another. Maybe.
It was at a that place down in the Armory, D.C. Armory.
Yes, the D.C. Armory, I don't know how many people it could fit, but let's just say 20,000, easy.
A lot. And they were packed everywhere.
And it had the main floor was just one DJ and... I mean, thousands of people that outdoor, and then you could walk downstairs, which normally, I guess, you weren't allowed to go. But during this rave, they had all these fucking weird ass rooms. You had to walk through these like plastic tunnels to get into like some of the dance areas. And they had like trance, they had ambient. The ambient room is always where the really weird people
massage trains and shit.
And so I brought my video camera for this one raid.
Snuck it in. I don't know how you got it in there because it was like at the time Buzz was getting busted and shit like that. It was just different.
I don't remember how I got it in. I don't. I just remember having it.
Right.
You know, and I just kind of was on this thing where I just was walking around with it. And like some people were all about it. They would jump in front of the camera. Other people were like hiding their face. Like if they were like, you know, like it was
2020
just,
is doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Right. I remember I was videotaping these break dancers and all, you know, when most time when you see a camera, you know, they're doing like a little bit extra.
Oh, yeah.
This one guy comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, you're going to have to delete that." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "You got to delete what you just recorded with me." I said, "Why?" He's like, "I don't want anybody biting my style." I'm like, come on, bro. I was like, all right, I got to delete it.
Right.
But
chopping block. Yeah. Right. Fucking edit it out.
So I'm walking around, and maybe, like, I don't know what time it is. It might be 2 in the morning. Actually, you know what? That was a weird time for that rave, but it was late
ended,
in the day.
It ended at like 12
midnight
or something.
Yeah, so, but it started at like 10 a.m. I don't know.
Some shit.
So it's late in the day. I mean, it's the equivalent of probably 2 or 3 a.m.
It's closing time, pretty much, I felt like.
So I'm going around with the camera, and then I just see this guy, he's kind of getting like carried by bouncers, but he's kind of getting away from him a little bit. And like, he's just straight going down to his dick. And it's not like over the pants.
Ramming it.
But he is just in his own fucking world. His eyes aren't in his head anymore. They are just, they're rolled back.
Oh, yeah.
He's got this weird smile, this thousand miles, like, kind of stare, what's going on. And he's just... He's like shaking his hand from the right. Like, getting his hand free and goes straight to, like, beating his dick, and his pants are, like, kind of pulled down a little bit, like, not fully, but
he was,
like,
getting to it.
Right.
He was trying.
And the bouncers don't want to touch this dude. Nah. You know, like, they, it's like, it's the worst thing you want to deal with as a bouncer. This kid that, not overdosing, but he can't handle whatever, and this little white entitled kid probably popped on a couple pills of Molly or whatever, and is just going to town.
He probably shoved one up his ass. Guaranteed.
So, like, they pull up the, like, one flight of steps. So it was kind of like a, you walk up a flight, and then it was like a platform, and then, like, another flight. And, like, they get him up the first flight, and they're just, like, they're looking around, and they just want to be anywhere else, but they have to deal with this kid. Just going, and there's people, right. I mean, people walking by. Just think of, like, a concert. There's this constant stream of people up and down, and everyone's getting full view of this, and he's not even hard. No. He's got this little, you know, little shaker, you know, and he's just trying to find it. And he's, I mean, half the time he's just jerking his hand in the air, like he's not even really doing it. So then they pick him up again, they drag him out. And then, of course, when he gets to the main room, there's doubt, and everyone's like, oh, he's overdosing. He's, you know, like people
freaking out, right?
And then this, no, then they just
definitely not.
They get him, I don't even know, they just kind of drop him off. They don't take him out front, they just kind of, like, you know,
do you want that?
They locked eyes with somebody that was more adulting than them, and they were like, here he is. And they kind of walk away. And then, you know, there's one raver girl that might have taken a fucking nursing class or something. And, you know, she's like, I'll do it, you know, come over and, like, looking at him. And he's kind of, like, smiling a little bit, like doing like a Stevie Wonder would do, like, kind of going back and forth. And then he really, like, kind of comes to for like a half second, realize there's actual female in front of his face.
Poor girl.
And he just tries to, like, just launch at her and, like, try to kiss her. And then, like, she had enough, so she pulls away.
That was amazing. And crazy. You got it on film.
I should submit it to America's Funniest Home Videos or whatever.
I don't know if they got the R-rated version.
But I am in the process of converting all those. I think I told you before, all our old house parties at like Drew's house, all the raves I went to, and all the, like, Woodstock tapes that I went to.
Right.
I'm converting them all over, and I'm breaking them up into, like, 10-minute clips.
Right.
And I'm going to start a YouTube channel and just dump all of that on there. So
that'd be cool, man. Yeah, I was thinking about it today. Like our generation was the last. That's the last it. Like, that was. We had the best one, like, to end it off with, because the ones after us, they suck. 2000s and stuff like that. If you didn't grow up in the 90s, and I wouldn't say it was the best, because not a lot of people made it.
That's very true.
But the ones that did, man, they sure had a hell of a ride.
It was cool because it was the, in that scene anyway, like the rave club scene, like, you still had a lot of raw stuff. Like, we were all still figuring it out. Like, it wasn't very. You know, you start to kind of creep in with some of like the big companies come in and you know, want to clean up and make a bunch of money. But most of it was either straight illegal.
Oh, definitely.
You know, warehouse parties or semi-legal.
Right. Like, they didn't plan. Right. They,
like,
weren't
Lonnie
doing that.
Fishers, you know, when he first started at Azar Court.
Yeah.
He used to call it, and he lived on a.
I didn't make it to them. That was pre my time, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, so that was in Arbutus,
right?
So, like, there was warehouses, you know, and right. One of the warehouses had a warehouse. It was, I think, three stories, and you walk up, and, like, the top story was where he lived.
Okay,
and then the bottom two were, like, where you would party.
Right, gotcha.
And I remember. Like, you walk up three flights of stairs, and this is back in the day, people.
He's
so
creepy.
He's
a creepy little fucker.
Yeah. But you would walk in, and, like, it was $20 to get in.
Right.
And he had a literal bowl of ecstasy. Like, you would pay $20, and if you wanted to partake, you would just...
There
take one out of the bowl. And this wasn't like a tiny bowl. This motherfucking bowl, like, you might be able to sit in it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
You
could wash a baby in it. Jeez. And it's just full.
Wow.
And you would just, I mean, he kind of got away with it because it was his house, and right. like it was a like a warehouse area, so there wasn't any other houses around.
Right. That was
and you would just go.
I was kind of like the beginning of the whole rave scene period, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure it was around a little bit before we got into it, you got into it, but you know, that was probably the beginning.
Yeah,
of
Lonnie was the big driver.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And that's before you started Ultra World and all
that's
that.
What I was getting ready to say, man. To go from that little party at his house to, you know what I mean, having massive amounts of people. Remember that one time the chick got tried to get the guy to walk. He was handicapped. And she stopped the whole party and got on the microphone. And she, you don't remember that?
I don't remember.
Oh, we got you. Dude, it was me, you, and Chrissy. We were sitting there, and I don't think it was Carl Cox. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's in a wheelchair. He plays house music. Amazing. Well, girl got all pumped up, feeling the spirit and everything. She got on the microphone for some reason. Everybody's sitting around just vibing, just bah, 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 dancing, having fun. And it was me, you, and Chrissy sitting there. And she goes, I just want to say, with the feeling we have here tonight in the spirit, I know that you can get up and you can stand. He's like, nah. And like, it was like awkward as hell. And I think you were like, God. I think you go, that just changed the vibe. And Chrissy's like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm probably whacked out of my mind like, yeah, we can make them stand. Yeah. But it was... Right, but it was so awkward, man.
Oh,
like,
of course.
The guy was like, nah, I'm trust me, I'm good. She was like, no, I want you to try. And it was like, oh, fucking ravers, man. There was something else. There was something else.
The world's first joke.
When did it come out? When was the first time? When was this?
The oldest recorded joke dates back to 1900 BC.
Jeez.
In today's time, it's not going to sound exactly right because obviously they spoke different
back
then. You
got to think, right, right, gotcha.
But here is the first joke that was ever recorded. And it goes, something which has never occurred since time. A young woman did not fart in her husband's lap. That's the joke. So the first joke ever recorded was a fart joke.
It was a fart joke, which is, I mean.
And it says the double negative throws in a bit of confusion, but the joke gets at a primary urge to hide certain imperfections from a romantic partner.
All right. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you kind of refreshed it in today's world, it still slaps.
It's
you know,
guaranteed.
Like, it's a fart joke. Yeah. I mean, 1900 BC.
What's funny? Fart jokes.
It was so important that it's the first recorded joke.
I mean, I'm sure you're in Neanderthal days and cavemen would fart and somebody would get a chuckle.
Yeah, farts are just always funny. Yeah, and that proves it. Exactly. Farts have always been funny and always will be funny.
From the beginning till the end.
That's it.
You know, makes everybody laugh.
Well, so we got off the rails a little bit on that, but I think that was fun.
You go with it sometimes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate Cousin Brother Phil for coming in and stepping in for Steve.
Definitely.
Thank you for having me. It's not an easy job to be one of two in a room. It takes a special person.
Steve's got to be the tallest person over there, right?
Probably by about 3 feet.
Gotcha. All right, cool. You might not fit in a regular jail cell then.
That should be a pretty good fun episode when Steve comes back. All right, guys. Again, thanks for hanging out with us one more time. Come back next week, and maybe Steve will be back, assuming he has a safe 24-hour flight back home. And follow us on Facebook. And if you're feeling froggy, share the podcast. I'm Jim.
Cousin Brother Phil.
See you next week. Cheers.
I was born to be a fighter, had these dreams and desires. I would be something better, energy got a fire in my soul. It keep burning, a pain that keep hurting, a curse is emerging. Feel the thirst, keep on working, I won't stop.